back here on WVNN Afternoons. I'm Yaffe. Copper is here as well. We're trying to connect with our guest, Rick Manning, with Americans for Limited Government. I always get a little worried when I book certain guests, and I'll book it through their press person, and they'll say, I put it on his calendar. And you ever wonder what that means, if that means, okay, is it, are they checking their calendar? Did you talk to him personally, or did you do? We've had him on the show a bunch of times before. The reason why I wanted to get him on is because he put out a release on Americans for Limited Government saying that President Joe Biden has announced a bipartisan $1 trillion infrastructure spending bill via budget reconciliation, but has not told the American people how they can afford it under current deficit neutral rules. Given the massive growth in government spending due to emergency COVID spending, the only approach is to revive bipartisan sequestration rules from 2011 that prohibit the increase in discretionary spending for a minimum of 3 years rather than raising taxes. It's kind of interesting there, where his idea is instead of raising taxes, if you're going to pay for this giant infrastructure package, it would be through some kind of a sequestration. Oh, we got him. Good. Joining me on the phone right now is Rick Manning. He is with Americans for Limited Government. You can find out more at getliberty.org. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Rick.
My pleasure. It's a this is really an important topic that nobody ever talks about, and that is we spend too darn much. We need to start telling the guys in Washington, D.C. to just stop it.
Well, I agree with you completely. I mean, I always liked what Rand Paul did. He would always put forward, you know, a proposal where you just cap spending at current levels, keep it at that level every year, and in 5 years, the budget will balance. But, of course, nobody else in Congress wants to do that.
Well, the reason, I'll give you the practical reason, two-thirds of the, actually about 70% of the spending is an automatic pilot, which means that's Social Security, that's Medicare, that's payment in terms of interest payments on the debt. So it's, those are the three big items. And since Congress actually doesn't, has chosen not to control that spending, to not to have that spending under their aegis, and have deferred it to have it be automatically increased, when you sit there and you say we're going to stop spending increases for 5 years, what you're really saying is, we're going to cut spending on the discretionary spending pretty significantly to cover up for the increased automatic cost of living on Social Security and the like. So it's a I agree with him, but I understand why Congress doesn't do it, because it turns out that it's about it ends up being about a 15% cut in discretionary spending, which includes national defense as well as both guns and butter in that particular instance. So the problem is, and this is a DC problem. The problem is Congress has basically said, we're going to put 70% of our spending on automatic pilot. And when you do that, you have absolutely no capacity to actually control spending, because you've deferred. You're only dealing with 30%. And they talk about shutting down the government. They're only talking about 30% of the government when they can't come to an agreement on a budget or on a spending plan. So that's the challenge. But it's a challenge we have to tackle, because this is out of control. I mean, this is out of control. And we did succeed in the mid-2010s for 3 years to effectively flatten spending, lower spending in a couple of years. And that's how come under the Obama years, we ended up going from $1.5 trillion deficit down to about $500 billion deficit. It had nothing to do with Obama. It had everything to do with the Republicans insisting on fiscal discipline and imposing it through sequester.
Yeah, sequestration. Now, I do understand that some Republicans didn't like that because it included cuts in defense spending. You know, is that an issue here?
Yeah, of course. Ultimately, the defense hawks, combined with the people who wanted to never saw a dollar they didn't want to spend, got together, and they're the ones who broke sequestration. We were in a slightly different circumstance in that Obama had cut defense dramatically leading up to that, and so we were in a defense had already taken a tremendous cut, and so while the butter part of our budget was flush, and having a little bit of cut there was really not even feel it. On the defense side, it was much harder because the defense side had already felt significant budget cuts early in the Obama administration. Right now, we're in a different circumstance. And so if you're going to do this, now is the time to do it. And it's up to the Republicans. They can impose this simply by saying no to appropriations bills and saying we're going to do a continuing resolution, for instance, that does not increase spending. And you do that for 3 years and you flattened it. It's a chicken way of doing it, but it's a way of doing it.
Now, how do we then take care of that 70% you were talking about, the automatic increases? I'm guessing you're for reforming that whole system.
Yeah, listen, we elect members of Congress, presumably to make these decisions. And what they have done with spending is they've essentially said, well, we're not going to make those decisions. We're just going to have them be on autopilot. And because of that, you're not getting any reforms, Social Security reforms, Medicare reforms, anything like that, because they look at the money and they say it's off budget. We don't control it. It's the same thing with food stamps. And there's a whole variety of programs that are like that. And until the people we elect to Congress take full control of their responsibility to decide how the money is to be spent in this country, we will be in real difficulty in balancing this budget. So they just have to do that.
Now, I'm sure you've been keeping track of this whole debate over the infrastructure bill. You know, there was a bipartisan agreement, but then the Democrats said, well, yeah, we'll pass that and then add this other stuff through reconciliation. My personal opinion now is, knowing that, any Republican that votes for the bipartisan one is a fool because they're just buying into the game of the Democrats. Would you agree with that?
No Republican should vote for it. They now know what the game is. They know that voting for $1.2 trillion in new spending will in fact result in an additional $3 to $6 trillion in new spending. We know that the spending is the Green New Deal. The spending are the tax increases that Biden has said he wants, that the Republicans are rejecting. So what we're looking at, and when you look at what the Democrats are really pushing for, they're pushing for things like $80 billion. To go for a climate corps, meaning paying a bunch of people to be climate activists on the government dime to attempt to destroy our free enterprise economy. That's the kind of thing that they're looking at spending on. We can't allow it to occur. And so, beyond the obvious that we can't afford it, it's also a bunch of stuff that we don't want to pay for.
Yeah, I mean, I think I read in the Wall Street Journal this week that if the American Families Plan was passed, which is a part of all of this, that more than 50% of people in America would be on the government dole in some way. That would be the first time in our history that is true. I mean, how does our economy survive that?
Well, it doesn't. I mean, that's the reality is that is the goal of the Democrats in this thing coming out of the pandemic. They found that people liked getting checks out of the blue. And so they are now trying to build off of that and say, gee, we're going to make it so a majority of Americans are on the government dime, at which point those Americans will vote to keep themselves and expand their money that they're getting from the government, because they always think somebody else is getting it. Michael, here's the truth. The God's honest truth is, if we continue along this pathway, we will be in a position where the bankers of the world will say, you have to cut spending because we want to be paid the interest payments on our debt that we've been refinancing for you. That will be what happens. And when they say that, what's happened in every other country is the big ticket items go first. So you want Social Security cut? Don't get the budget under control right now, and it won't be our government cutting it. It'll be the demands of international bankers that we cut it, that our government will go along with, because they will have to. That's the God's honest truth. We get a hold of it. We've got to get control of this now. If we want to keep any of those social programs intact, you have to get a hold of it now, because otherwise others who are not responsive to the American, to the people, are going to make those decisions and they're going to impose it on us, because they will own our debt, and hence they will own our country, and representative democracy ends.
Well, what you're talking about is austerity measures. It's similar to what Greece had to go through in order. They had economic problems and they couldn't pay off their debt, and the EU and so forth required austerity measures on their part. But the problem with that is they had riots and protests and everything else. And so I guess that's one reason why we don't want to go down that route.
Well, it's definitely a reason you don't want to go down that route. And if you want to know this, what happened in Greece, the interest rate went up to 6%. Okay, 6%. That's not beyond the pale. That's not something that's unimaginable. Wasn't it 27%? The interest rate on their debt went to 6%, and they couldn't afford to pay it. To give you an example, right now, our average interest payment on our debt is under 2%. And we're currently pushing out about $750 billion a year in debt payments. Part of it is to internal government stuff, but overall, that's about $750 billion in debt payments. So you triple that, and suddenly you have debt payments that will exceed our entire budget for defense and the butter side, the Labor Department, all that, you know, all those other departments will be exceeded by our interest payments on the debt. That's not sustainable, and you'll have to be able to either do two things: remonetize it, sell debt on the markets again, or more likely, dramatically increase taxes and make dramatic cuts in terms of federal government spending. It's easier to make cuts in federal government spending now when you can basically ease your way out of it. But in the future, easing our way out of it won't be easy. And so, I'm a big believer. If you got a problem, deal with it now when it's relatively small, as opposed to trying to deal with it later when it's insurmountable.
Well, I mean, isn't one of the other ways they could do it is inflating the currency, kind of buying our own debt by inflating the currency? Isn't that another thing that could happen?
That's certainly what we're seeing right now, 100% true. And so, by inflating your currency is the absolute worst solution. Because, once again, if you're a liberal, you sit there and you say, we don't want progressive taxes that are taxes that hurt the poor more than hurt the rich. That's what the left's position is. I don't happen to agree with it. I think you should have a flat tax and you'd actually generate more money. But that's their position. What their policies are doing is they're guaranteeing inflation. And inflation hurts people who work for a salary, who are on fixed incomes. Yeah. People who are working for an hourly wage get hurt more, because if you don't make a lot of money and you don't create, aren't able to just demand more, that inflation takes a steep cut out of your paycheck. And suddenly the cost of food is more, the cost of gas is more, the cost of housing is more. And you don't have more money to pay for it, which means you have to cut back on other things. That's the pernicious effect of what we're doing by running this debt.
One day I'd love to bring you on the show and talk about good news and how the Republicans are going to take your advice. But that's probably not going to happen anytime soon with the way things are looking.
I have some great news. At the state level, great things are happening. And
that's
so,
true.
Anytime you want to talk about some great news, I'll talk to you about what's happening in the states, because it's phenomenal.
That's actually a really good point. I'm in Alabama, and a lot of good things are happening on our state level as well. That is good news. I agree. The states are going to be a lot of the solution to this if the government doesn't usurp their power, which is a whole other issue. Rick Manning with Americans for Limited Government. You can find out more about them at getliberty.org. Rick, as always, I really appreciate you coming on the show. We'll bring you on again in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you, Michael. Take care.
We got Drive Time Happy Hour to end the show once again coming up in a moment. Drive Time Happy Hour. We'll be right back.
WVNN Afternoons.